In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stars that came here to Earth, caught in their struggle through the whole universe. Robotic warriors.
Who's up to here? Welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. And now, without further ado, here is Weird Wolf. Now, where did I put that chorus stop? Ratchet, can you take the chorus stop? Only the strong will survive.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 104, recorded May 16th, 2014. I am your host, Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Bricey.
Hey, how's it going?
Headmaster Don.
Good to be back, everybody.
Dr. Arkaville.
Hello, everybody.
And Megamus.
Hello.
Insane Galvatron will be joining us hopefully here in the next hour or so. He is going to be in the area, so he's going to be dropping by here. At least that's what the plan is. And I've got his Hello Kitty headphones waiting on him. I don't have a second pair of headphones, so I'm using my stepdaughter's for him. So, yes, he's going to be wearing a nice little Hello Kitty.
It suits him. It suits him. That's fine.
But we are back this week, and sorry I missed out last week. Timing was just bad, and I also had to babysit my my stepdaughter, and because my wife was out for a little bit, and it just kind of crazy timing. But the Age of Extinction toys—that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about tonight. Some of them kind of broke street date the last week or so, and the e-tailers seem to have quite a few deals earlier this week, and I actually partook of some of them, and the official street date, I believe, is tomorrow. Anybody confirm that?
Anybody? Yes. Yes, I've seen the boxes with the May 17th street date on them.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, you know, mostly tomorrow, everybody should be able to go into their local Walmart, Target, Meijer, what have you, and be able to find them if they're on the ball and actually put them out. but we'll talk a little bit about those. We're also going to catch up on our Ouch My Wallets. We haven't had a chance to do an Ouch My Wallet in some time, and I figure that we'll talk about some of our most recent acquisitions, and we'll pick one and talk about it for amongst each other. And then just a slight thing at the end of it. I know we've talked about buying and selling and trading in the fandom before, but we're going to talk a little bit about etiquette tonight. You know, I've experienced some things over the last week that just made me raise an eyebrow, and I think it's something that would be interesting to talk about, because I know there's some differing ideas and differing opinions on buying and selling and trade etiquette, and you know, basically there's a line between trying to get a good deal and making an insulting offer, and just being crazy, you know. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and if you guys have any comments or questions, feel free to tweet them at us, at TFYLP. I'm monitoring the Twitter feed, I believe. Megamus, are you watching the Facebook page?
I am.
Okay, Megamus is watching the Facebook page, so if you want to post on either of those, ask any questions, feel free. Victor Monroic, he says YouTube's not letting him leave any comments, so I'm not even watching YouTube, honestly, as far as the comments, because of that very same problem. But you know, if you are watching us on YouTube, please subscribe. You know, it's It's you get the full TFYLP experience when you watch us live. You know, we do offer these podcasts in a downloadable format, but you know, if you're wanting to see what we're talking about, I know, like last week, the guys were talking a lot about Victory, and they had some great items to show off. And if you didn't watch the YouTube version of the show, then you don't really get to see some of the things that they're talking about. I mean, it's one thing to talk about it and hear it, and if that's the only way you can consume the podcast, that's, you know, that's great. But I mean, it truly is an experience to watch the show, and we try to make it worth your while. And I know last week you guys had a time with Brian Johnson, TF Fanpage 101. It was kind of humorous. I have to admit, I liked it. Brian, if you're listening, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you this week. It's been crazy, but I would like to have you on the show sometime soon.
Two things. One, he posted saying that he's not going to be available tonight, to which I left him a nice friendly gesture.
Yeah.
And second, I just posted on YouTube, so I guess it's up and running now.
Okay.
So you can.
But I do want to have him on the show. You know, I thought it was a hoot last week, the smashing of the Mega Block thing. That was hilarious.
And who knows what else we're going to smash? You never know.
Well, if we had Plastic on here, maybe we could have him destroy something. You know, didn't he do like some videos of destroying some really crappy figures once?
I think he did. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be hilarious. But without further ado, let's get to talking about the Age of Extinction toys.
I ain't found Jack.
You ain't found shit.
I liked his intro better than yours.
Sorry.
Bumblebee has sad. He is sad.
The only thing I have seen are at Kmart's, and they were blocked in the system from purchase, which is, you know, it's understandable. But no other store I've even seen has had any out. So
I'm going to try to refocus my video here.
But I did get a good look at Scorn and
Slug,
they were on the shelf at the Kmart that I did see them at. And I have to say, in person, I'm very impressed with them. You know, I think I would prefer the Takara versions. I have the Dinobot colors on them, but not for the prices that I'm seeing, because some of them are Wonderfest exclusives and things such as that. There is one place out there that I've seen it for $125.
For which one?
The Triceratops, which I believe Slug. Is
$125 for Slug.
The Japanese Takara version with the Dinobot with the G1 Dinobot colors on it. Yes. Mm. So that's a little out of my ballpark.
Well, can somebody pull up the a picture of the two new ones that was announced earlier this week, and we'll screen share those here in a moment.
Yes.
I was at a local Kroger, and they didn't seem to give a damn about the street date, and they were not blocked in their system. I picked up the High Octane Bumblebee. That's the classically styled Bumblebee here. I didn't expect a whole lot out of this guy, and the only reason I got it is because I really dug the car mode. But for a Bumblebee movie figure, he's not that bad. Honestly, he's not that bad. The biggest thing that I see with these new figures, again, continuing with the trend that we've seen in the Generations line, the deluxes are getting smaller, and these guys are no different. I mean, you see them on the pegs, and you're like, wow, those are small. And also, if you can see it, my video is not working on my local screen here, but there's not a whole lot of paint apps, especially on the robot mode.
Yeah.
They could really use some paint apps.
What's the price point on this?
Bumblebee was $15, 18 after tax. $15.
And how small is it?
Well, here.
That's what she said.
Yeah. Well, another a preview of my Ouch My Wallet, something that Brett helped me get. Snapdragon, and here is Bumblebee.
Jeez, Christmas.
Yeah. So
he's
so,
a little scout.
I'd say you could probably put two legends or legion class together, make a deluxe. That's roughly been the case for a long time, but I mean, they really, really are small. They're actually a little bit bigger in robot mode than they are in vehicle mode. His vehicle mode is small.
You don't have any deluxes like from the first or second movie, anything so you can get a size comparison, do you?
I have no other movie toys, no.
Generations would work too. They're about the same.
I have none handy. Does anyone else?
I've got a Death Charge here from
you guys talk amongst yourselves, and I'll go grab a current generations and a older generations deluxe, and I'll do a comparison real quick.
Well, you know, I think if anyone looks up as far as look at War for Cybertron Optimus Prime versus Fall of Cybertron Optimus Prime, I think that right there is the best visual clue as to what we're looking at in the shrinking markets. Now, I don't know about y'all guys, but one thing that's really upset me to a degree is probably one of the best leader class figures we've had in a long time is the Revenge of the Fallen Optimus Prime, the leader class. Again, very complicated, and I understand why they're trying to simplify it. But look at the leader class version from, 2009, for Revenge of the Fallen? And 5 years later, look at our leader classes now in that Optimus Prime for about the same price point.
I don't know if this is a good comparison, but here's Generations Orion Pax. Let's see so I can get them in picture here. Is this a fair comparison? Yeah. That's Zerkleinu? Excuse me, my Swedish is going through here.
Yeah, well, that's you can definitely see a size drop.
Yeah. It's universe of Cyclones.
Considerable size drop.
Interesting. What were the two that he was looking for pictures for?
The green Stegosaurus and the Voyager Brachiosaurus.
Slog.
Anyone else get pictures of those?
I thought you guys were doing that.
I got it.
My Google Foo is weak when I have this many windows open.
Let me do my screen share here.
What is it, silly butt?
You mean this thing right here?
Oh, yes. Snarl, and then should have slog, yes. Now that, I don't care for the missile things, and I hope they are removable, because I certainly won't use them. But the dyno mode, I really dig that.
Now,
These right here might be removable because they do like they're on peg, but these are pegged in.
Yeah, I believe those are pegged in because they become like lances in robot mode. So if you could take those off, I would be much happier.
You see if they got a.
Yeah, and I look at Slog, and I'm calling it a Brachiosaurus is what I'm calling it. I'm not sure what the real name is, but if anyone else has watched Super Sentai, that is almost just a Brachios from Coriuger. It's just such a strong similarities, you know, as far as the dino design. That Snarl, I love that. I love that Snarl, that figure.
Looks like a Jolly Rancher.
I love the Photoshop someone posted earlier this week after those were shown. Somebody took a leaf of lettuce and Photoshopped the head of the dino on it and the legs and everything. I'm like, hey, it kind of matches. But I've back to the size comparisons. I've got a few figures here that I can compare them to. I'll do Slug here since he's relatively small, and kind of show him off there. He's really, really nice figure. I love his posability, and he's a great dino. Now here's Orion Pax. Okay, pretty close to the same size. Got G1 Prime here. Well, dropped his rifle, but there he is next to G1 Prime. Pick up the rifle here. Now some older classics. Here is Slug next to Cyclonus. And
everyone has Cyclonus.
Yeah. It's Cyclonus Day today.
Yeah. And another deluxe from another year. Slug next to Sideburn. So they really
roughly the same.
Roughly the same size. I mean, maybe it's just perception then. Yeah. I mean, just looking at them in the package. Well, I think Cyclonus is just large for a deluxe. I think a lot of it has to do with the packaging, now that I've had a chance to actually compare them. Because, the packaging you can have big, bulky packaging and a small toy inside. And then, like, these guys here have much smaller packaging. And so you're holding the cards. I mean, the cards are, like, easily half the size of older carded Transformers. And I think that's where a lot of the perception is coming from, honestly.
Well, now, what do y'all guys, I understand the whole economies of scale, and they're shrinking them down because of all the costs and everything. But don't you think that after a certain point, they're saving enough money that they can give us the paint that some of these figures need, like Galvatron? I've watched PL's review for that Galvatron.
That thing is, it's so flat. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm just thinking, if you're cutting back the Voyagers and you're cutting back the Deluxes all this much, please don't bite me.
Megamus?
No, that was Massey. That's the other.
I never said I wouldn't bite.
But I mean,
never said it.
After a while, they've got to be saving enough money to give us these deluxes, but they can't add some paint to at least.
I think that's a large part of why the Takara generations are so popular. A Captured Prey carries them almost. I mean, that's a large part of Captured Prey stock is Takara generations, and honestly, I've held quite a few of them in hand, and the paint apps are far superior to what we get over here.
Just imagine what Senator Ratbat would look like if it was done in the U.S.
Yeah, Tobias, in Europe, what are the is there any different paint apps that you guys get over there, or
I don't think we get any new different paint apps over here. Roughly the same as the US. I can't remember the last time we got any different toys paint apps.
So you guys get chanced on too then?
Yeah, but I can say that we have had some Age of Extinction toys out in for a month now.
Wow.
It's not much of them, but we got some Flip and Change. Now recently I saw some Voyagers as well. And you guys are complaining about prices in the States.
Here it comes.
We're Americans. We're not happy unless we're complaining.
I made a listing of these just to compare, and I converted it to dollars. So deluxe size toys from Beast Hunters, Prime, and now some other lines, Age of Extinction as well, I think, are $26 here in Sweden.
Wow. And those are just simple deluxes.
Yeah, simple deluxes, $26, and that's tax included. And the Voyager size are ranging from, hold on, $40 to $65.
Ow.
Each.
God bless America.
Once again, like I said, we'll bitch about anything.
Yeah.
And you know these flip and change from Age of Extinction? You got, I think I took a picture of, there is one. Okay. Can you see it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you recognize this one. They got the Grimlock one as well, and they are charging $53 for these.
$53?
Yeah, $53.
It's a wonder that they even sell toys overseas.
Yeah.
Well, now, were you hit by the same problems as the UK about a lot of these being store exclusives as well?
No, not a store exclusive, because it's different in the UK. We got Toys R Us as well, but we only got one more toy store, chain of stores called BR Toys. But I think Toys R Us bought them a couple of years ago, so it's roughly just Toys R Us that we got. In UK, you got all the other different dealers.
Wow,
that's unreal. What about in Canada, right?
Deluxes are 19 with tax, and Voyagers are 35.
Is that Canadian dollars or?
Yeah, Canadian.
So, what is the exchange right now between Canada and U.S.? Is it
90? I think 90 cents U.S. to a dollar Canadian.
Yeah. So you guys.
The one thing I've always heard, like what Evangelist said in the past, what the worst thing about buying toys in Canada or not buying them in Canada but buying them, shipping them in, is all the customs you all wind up getting charged with and how random it seems to be.
Yep. You get it once in a while, not very often. Unless you go on eBay's new Screw the International Buyer program. Then, yeah, you pay a lot.
Well, can you narrow that down? That's probably more than one.
No, the global shipping program is the biggest scam I've ever seen.
Yeah, I've seen that, but I haven't looked into it yet.
I actually didn't realize that a couple of my auctions, by default, it had the little check mark ticked for global shipping, and I really didn't want to offer my things outside of the U.S. and Canada because, I mean, it's just frankly very, very expensive to ship outside of North America. And I find a lot of people aren't really willing to pay to have it shipped unless they really, really want something that much. And, I find it kind of annoying that eBay just automatically checks that off, you know, to push it. And it's, you know, it's...
So that's automatic now, even though you don't want to ship internationally?
It's automatically... It's automatically checked.
If someone's signed up for that global, they can do it.
Yeah, well, you can go in and edit the auction listing or end the auction listing and relist it. That's what I had to do with a couple of them, and I had to physically uncheck it because by default, you got to be careful. By default, it is checked to allow global shipping.
Okay, but it's not mandatory.
No, it's not mandatory.
Okay, because I'll tell you, I'm getting so sick of eBay as it is, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but this just be another nail in the coffin for them. That's... Yeah. If they made it mandatory, that no matter what you wanted to do, as long as someone was signed up for their global, whatever the hell it's called, that they'll ship it, and then it, your stuff winds up overseas, and that's not what you intended, that's not right. It's your auction.
Yeah,
it's your auction. You should be allowed to dictate that.
Well, I mean, there's a couple countries that I will not ship to. I mean, Italy, for example. I had a nightmare with an Italian buyer once, and this is getting a little bit into our etiquette and stuff later, but it took well over a month to get there, even though I shipped it EMS over there or whatever the equivalent is, and it took like a month to get there. He had filed a complaint against me saying that I never shipped it, even though I provided tracking. Once it leaves American soil, tracking is just a nebulous thing, apparently. And he claimed that I never sent it. And lo and behold, a month later, he ended the ticket, saying that he finally received it. And it's just a pain in Italy. I don't know why Italy is different, because I've shipped things to UK before. I've shipped to Germany, no problem. But Italy just seemed to be kind of an issue.
Italy has a law that toys cannot be imported if they're not made wholly of wood. So it's kind of hard to send toys there.
That's probably why. Yeah.
Wow. Welcome to the 19th century, Italy.
Yes. But anyway, Age of Extinction toys. Slug, this guy, I love his robot mode so much. It is so full of love. The Dino mode, it's great. However, his legs, I wish they had just a little bit more articulation in the legs. In Dino mode, they're a little bit obscured. Of course, he's got this strange spiky tail here. I don't know if they tried to make him a stegosaur or what, but I mean, that's just the aesthetic of those toys. But I think.
Is he purple or is he blue?
He's purplish blue.
Yeah.
It's,
because he looked more blue in the picture.
So yeah, in some light he's blue. I noticed upstairs whenever I was messing with him for the first time, he actually looked blue in the light that was coming in the window. But now that I'm down here in this room where there's no natural light coming in, he looks purple. It's
a color like, changer.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, to me, it's almost like the purple on the mat, because if you look at the Masterpiece boxes behind Werewolf, the kind of Masterpiece boxes, it's almost that purple to me.
The Masterpiece?
Yeah, the Masterpiece boxes like Acid Storm, the purple on those.
He's a bit darker.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. But, honestly, his purple is, well, if you, like I said, in this light he looks purple, but upstairs he looked blue. And his color looks a lot, in this lighting, looks a lot like the first version of Classic Cyclonus, that color. But me personally, I think the real winner is this dude here, Scorn. Yeah. I talked to Chad earlier. Chad doesn't particularly care for this guy. You know, it's a preference, but his robot mode is really neat. I don't really care for the tail arm, but he kind of has a Corrada vibe to me for that. But his dino mode, that Spinosaurus flipping rocks. If you're a member of the Facebook group, go on there and check out a few of the pictures that I posted. I love Scorn, and I tell you what, if they release these guys in G1 colors, I will buy them again. I will buy them again. I love those guys.
I agree. I only see in what you're showing now and the pictures you took, but that Scorn is outstanding. I remember seeing the photographs from Toy Fair, and that guy stood out, in my opinion.
I think it'll be sad if he's going to be like one of those guys. What was that guy in Revenge of the Fallen? He had like a really cool alt mode car. He was a Decepticon. And then in robot mode, he looked a lot like a Barricade. But beforehand, everybody's like, "Oh, that is so awesome! He's got to be a major character." And he had like a total of 15 minutes or 15 seconds of screen time, and was sliced in half.
Oh yeah, he sideways.
Sideways.
In the first.
Yeah. In the second one.
Sideways.
Yeah.
It was sideways. Yeah.
But
you got split in half in Shanghai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're also getting that mold again from Takara in their expanded line too.
Well, I like the fact that we're getting Dispensor as well. The Mountain Dew truck. Well, Takara's getting it. I mean,
I've only been 7 years, so that's worth the wait.
Yeah, well worth the wait.
Yeah,
but me personally, Age of Extinction. I'm kind of on the fence about Evasion Mode Prime, and I don't know if Insane Galvatron brought his or will bring his. He said something about bringing his. I know he picked up this Bumblebee, and he has Evasion Mode Prime, and he has a Galvatron on the way. Hasbro Toy Shop earlier this week had a 10% off and free shipping. On Age of Extinction toys, I picked up Scorn and Slug from Amazon because I am an Amazon Prime subscriber, they had buy one get one half off on Age of Extinction, and then if you have Prime shipping, it's free shipping. So I basically paid the $16 for Scorn and got him for $8. So I thought that was really great.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was limited to my phone browser for the last week at my mom's house, and I didn't find out about that until Tuesday.
Actually, it might still be going on. I actually checked yesterday, and it was still going on Amazon. So it's possible it's still going on now. I know Scorn and Slug, they are down to final stocks. Scorn was like $26, and Slug was about the same from Past Generation Toys was a seller the last time I saw. Earlier in the week they were comparable to prices that we've been seeing everywhere else.
But what's the transformation like?
Scorn looks like he transforms the way he looks like he would transform. I mean, obviously the tail just basically turns around. The head basically turns around and closes the jaws. Then these kind of fold up. But they've actually got more steps for transformation than I expected. I thought these would be a lot simpler with like a Beast Wars figure. Basically the arms become legs and legs become arms and stuff like that. But Scorn's got like 19 steps to his transformation, and Slug's got like 16. I might be able to hold it up here and let you guys see if I can convert it. I mean, turn that around, and then it's fold his head up. I'm no pee-aw here, but.
Well, if you were a pop star, parts would already be popping off just for no reason.
Yeah, of course. then this kind of comes around and folds up.
No, it's not. It's nice to see that. Everybody was panicking at first when they announced that there would be easy to change figures, and everybody was complaining they were all going to be like, flip changers and all that kind of stuff. It's like, that's.
Then he's got like that funny waist thing where it kind of folds in on itself. The nose. And he's got the chicken leg thing going on here. And then that little heel spur actually becomes the middle toe. And there you go, Spinosaurus.
Yeah. Fairly simple transformation. Yeah.
Fairly simple, but somewhat involved too. You know, I mean, it's a lot more involved than what I would expect, and it's really satisfying, and he's a really really good looking toy, in my opinion. I mean, and plus he's got the jaws kind of open up here.
Yeah,
and he's got a. It's actually his arm in robot mode, or his elbow, but he's got a neck articulation in the dino mode. The arms here are articulated. Too bad he doesn't have elbow joints there, but quite nice.
Yeah. You know? The reason I asked about the transformation is because I was curious, obviously, but you were mentioning Optimus Prime, evasion mode Optimus Prime. I've heard it's... quite tricky.
Yeah, and Zane Galvatron said he's actually got a decent sized robot mode, but in truck mode he's roughly G1 Prime size in truck mode. And another thing that makes me not really want evasion mode Prime is that compared to evasion mode Bumblebee in car mode, evasion mode Bumblebee might have a quarter inch in length in car mode on evasion mode Prime. Or high octane Bumblebee. Also the sword.
There it is.
Yeah, the sword for Scorn. Kind of I like the fact that it kind of tucks away here. If I can find it tucks away in the tail like that.
That looked weird when you were placing that one.
Yeah, it kind of looks like you're shoving it in his hind end, but
yeah.
But it stores away really nicely. Really nicely. Really nice toy. And I actually like him enough in both modes that I wouldn't mind displaying. That's why I'd like to have them in G1 colors. I would display them in robot mode in these colors and then in dino mode in their beast forms.
Yeah, they look good. Really good.
But, yeah, me personally, I plan on getting all the Dinobots. I got Bumblebee because I like the classic car mode. If Galvatron had some paint apps, maybe. But he's basically just a backpack former, I think.
Yeah, then there is the Leader class Grimlock or the Voyager class Grimlock.
Yeah, so. I'm torn right now. I like the chrome. I know Cyburn 2, he doesn't care for the chrome. But I like the chrome on the Leader class. But I think the Voyager class would scale better with these guys. So yeah. What do I get? You know, I don't want to get both. But, so what about you guys? Any of them that you guys plan on getting?
All the Dinobots, obviously. I love Dinobots. And I think they look great.
Well, I like the fact that they kept realistic dinosaurs, but to an extent. I mean, Spinosaurus was a real dinosaur. I wish that Strafe didn't have two heads. I don't know of any two-handed pteranodons. I don't know why they did that. But...
Because Bay.
Yeah, Michael Bay. We can just blame it all on Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Blame it on the Bay.
Oh, God. You didn't just go there.
Yeah.
Sorry. Millie Vanilli, huh?
I'm sorry.
The Picard face palm.
Oh. I don't know as far, you know, I haven't picked up anything yet. The only thing I really want is the Dinobots. I'm the same way on Grimlock. Leader has some good aspects and terrible in others, and the Voyager's the exact reverse. So I don't know, because I was really hoping the Voyager Grimlock would be the definitive version since I passed on Generations Grimlock, because I hate that mold. But probably, other than the Dinobots, Evasion Mode will be my he'll be my movie prime for this movie, and that's really all. Other than when the new Dinobots come out, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
That's all I've seen that I want. Oh, and Hound. I'm sorry, and Hound. Because I did watch Pial's review on Galvatron and Hound, but I thought I would want Galvatron, and I didn't care about Hound. And then once I watched the reviews, I was like, that Galvatron sucks. But the Hound is awesome.
I will have to say that I like the choices that they have for some of the voice actors. John Goodman for Hound. I thought that was an excellent choice. And another toy that I'm on the fence about, simply because he has that samurai look, and that's Drift. I really dig that look. I'm kind of wondering, though, if he'll have the IDW personality, or most likely he won't. But he's being voiced by Ken Watanabe, I believe. And a lot of people may remember him from, if you're a war movie buff, he was in Letters from Iwo Jima. What else was he in? Can't remember. He's a great actor, though. Oh, The Last Samurai. He was in that as well.
Okay.
I
have to say one thing. That Bumblebee that you showed up, first of all, what is it called?
High
Octane.
Yes. Yeah.
I swore that I would not get another Bumblebee movie toy because I got tons of them through the years, but that one I had to get because of a vehicle mode. I think it's great. It's great looking.
Okay. Megamus, anybody saying anything on YouTube about or on Facebook about Age of Extinction toys?
No, actually, we've been having a good conversation about the global shipping, so getting some information on that.
Hmm. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. Anybody else have anything further on Age of Extinction, and we'll talk a little bit about it before we move on?
Well, the only thing I want to say is, you know, working for a large retailer, you know, the stuff does come in marked with the street date. So, you know, Hasbro does its job when they want to try to, you know, enforce a street date. The stuff is clearly marked. But if you're looking at 2 weeks ago, people were finding these toys in a lot of different chains, available some places online were already selling them. A street date for toys is kind of arbitrary. It's kind of weird as it is. But when that many people are finding and buying the toys early, why they just didn't a week ago just send out a press release and say, negate the street date and get them out there and start selling them? That's, you know, that's the one thing I just didn't understand is when you're seeing, and I'm sure if they don't have people looking at the internet and going to these web pages like Altbar, like T-Formers, like Cybertron, whatever the case may be, and they're not checking the research, and that's free feedback on your products. And if they're seeing that these toys are being bought, yes, it's a logistics problem that they may want to deal with in the future, but for right now, sell them. And I just don't understand why they didn't do that. Go ahead and just start selling them.
I really don't understand the purpose of a street date on them in any case. I mean,
well,
I can understand on certain things, but toys?
Well, I mean, it could be that if there's promotion going, if you've got promotional partners, let's say when Mountain Dew works with Doritos on Halo, you know, it might be. That'd be the best date so that all the promotional materials get to the various stores. And that way everything's in place when it goes live. But if you're doing toys on the shelf and they're being found in multiple retail locations, start selling. You know, that's what. And if they could put out a general press release, and I'm sure it'll filter down to all the stores within a couple of days. In most cases, it just seems odd.
Yeah, I mean, I used to work for Pepsi Cola, and you know, we had street dates on certain things, and that was because, like you said, you know, there might be marketing partners or you know, a time frame that they need things released, as far as, you know, okay, we have this one flavor and then another flavor coming out, and you don't want them intermingling. And that might be why Hasbro's doing this, because, you know, you've got, you know, the old generations and then the movie line coming in. You don't want them crossbreeding on the shelves, I guess. You know, a lot of stores have been bare for a long time now.
Yeah.
You know, just a few generations, smattering generations here and there. Most of the time in the stores that are nearest me, I go in like Walmart, and I'd be lucky to see a Sound Blaster and a Grimlock in there.
Yeah, that's one of my stores. We've not received any generation toys at all at my store since probably February, and that was one case of the Scoop Wave.
Yeah, I know another Walmart about 15 miles from here. They have had zero Transformers, zero, on their shelves for over a month. So,
well, that's interesting. I remember the first live action movie in 07. We got huge displays in every toy store around here in Sweden. The same thing for Eventual Fallen and The Dark of the Moon. But after The Dark of the Moon, we got, I think it lasted for nearly 2 years when we got to Reveal the Shield and all these kinds of lines as well. We had tons of toys left unsold. So what they did was they had a sale on everything. And since then, we had about zero since 2011. Wow. Very sparse.
Very, very sparse, then.
Yeah, sparse. So, and do you remember that Reveal the Shield, that Wind Charger toy?
Oh,
that was so hard to get.
Yes.
We got tons of these over in Sweden. They sold them for like $10 or something. Yeah.
Are they still readily available there? Or?
No, not anymore, because it was around 2011, 2012. So it seemed that they were shipping a lot of these toys over to Europe, specifically Sweden.
I know
we got the Lugnut toy, loads of them. So.
I know I've...
Hey.
What? Oh, I thought you said...
I bet he was talking to the cat.
Oh. But... I know that like at Slagicon last year, I saw probably four or five Wind Chargers. You have a couple, Brett?
Of what?
The Reveal the Shield Wind Charger.
I think I have one left. But at one point, we had a lot of them. A whole lot of them. But that was Jim had those.
Yeah. I kind of wonder if some of those might have came from somewhere like Sweden, where they had a.
I don't know. I know like the discount stores were getting them in. I can't think of the names of them, like TJ Maxx and Marshalls. They were getting stuff like that in, stuff that we couldn't find anywhere, and they were getting them in by the boatload. So I wonder if they got transferred over there.
Possible.
I think. The main problem here in Sweden with Transformers is when it's movie year, they sell okay. But we don't have anything to promote Transformers besides the movies. We don't have Prime showing on television or anything like that. So, and Hasbro Nordic is doing nothing at all to promote Transformers when it's not the movie year.
They don't import the cartoon or anything?
No, nothing like that. We have a Cartoon Network channel, but it's not that widely spread. So. No, it's just strange.
I was. What about the like over here, the current generations, or the last wave of generations, like with Scoop and everything? Has any of those waves made it to Europe yet?
Yeah, they made it to Europe without the comic attached to it. Had a different packaging, so. But once again, they were like $30 or something like that. So.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
Scoop is worth it.
But I bought mine from the States.
Is it generally cheaper to buy from the States and have it shipped than it would be just to go to the store and buy it?
No, not necessarily, because the shipping is rather expensive. Yeah. But you can get hold of the toys. In the case of Scoop, he didn't show up until 3 months after it was released in the States, so that's why I got him, because I wanted Scoop.
I still don't have it in store here.
Okay.
I got mine from the States.
Oh. Sorry.
I think it showed up in Toronto and stuff, but not around here.
Do you get the comic as well in Canada?
No.
No, it's just...
With Quebec, they hate English.
And that's another thing when we're talking about the toys. You know that Sunship they put in the leader-class toys, that here in Sweden, we only got it to say Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
For instance. Yeah,
they're pretty bad here, too.
Yeah, okay. Because that's a policy they have about language.
They don't have... like a Swedish person do like a voiceover or something other for it, I wonder?
No, nothing.
Wow.
Then it would sound like something like this. Jag är Optimus Prime.
It's like, that's not Prime.
That's not Prime.
Well, I believe we'll move on to our Ouch My Wallet segment, and I know we'll probably revisit... some Age of Extinction if Insane Galvatron is able to drop by, and he actually has some. We might revisit the Evasion Mode Prime if he brought it. But for now, we'll move on to the Ouch My Wallet. And if I can bring it up here. Ouch My Wallet is brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com. You can go there and pre-order your Masterpiece Bumblebee and Ultra Magnus and Wheeljack for really great prices. CapturePrey.com. Anybody want to start with their Ouch My Wallet over the last little bit? Anything that you might want to list off what you got, and then just pick one item that you would like to talk about.
Bryce wants to go first.
Oh, and here really? He is.
I've been going kind of nuts on Japanese G1 stuff lately. I think the biggest one I've picked up was Raiden. Six-wing. Some Godmaster engines. Double Clouder.
Ooh. Nice.
A few other things.
Yeah, but if I don't see it, it didn't happen.
You have to actually get up.
Check it out, Pete. The BBTS
exclusive Master Figure Collectibles.
Yay. This is the ones for Hot Rod, Cup, and Blur, right?
No, those are the ones for Point Blank, Crosshairs, and...
Sure Shot.
Ah.
Don't you hate those cases when they hit you like that?
And check it out. I give him a birthday present. I show up at his house with a podcast. He makes me wear a pink headset.
That's all I had left. Or that's all I had available.
He told me that that's what you wanted. You requested them.
Well, no. I requested My Little Pony. These are Hello Kitty. That's completely different.
They fit him so well.
There.
It matches your eyes.
Yes. Oh, really? Thank you.
There you go. Bryce has got a picture of it now. The Raiden gift set.
Yes.
It's cheap.
Oh, yeah. Where'd you pick that up? The Dollar General?
Yeah, something like that.
Oh, big one.
Like the $500. More like the $500 General.
They have tons of them.
That'd be nice. Still no. Oh, nice.
That I guess we can talk a little bit about this. Invasion Mode Prime. He did bring it. So
he looks.
Well, the gun. Before you transform
the
it.
The gun.
Before you transform it, I do have my G1 Prime here.
Well, I have the Voyager Galvatron on the way, as well as the one-step lockdown. I wanted to check one of the one-step toys out. Got them on a sale at Hasbro Toy Shop, but they're not going to be delivered according to the tracking until Monday. I was hoping they'd be here by today, but they didn't make it.
All right. G1 Prime and Evasion Mode Prime. Let's see here.
Wow. That's pretty damn close.
Yeah. Let's see here. Put them behind each other here. And Evasion Mode's just a little bit bigger. Not a whole lot, but just a little bit.
He's actually really cool. His transformation's a lot more complex than I expected it to be. Which I know that's old news at this point. I'm sure a lot of people heard other people picking this toy up talking about it.
Well, what's your thoughts on it all together?
I thought, looking at the pictures online ahead of time, I thought it looked a little bland and boring.
Kind of like
a little
you.
Plain, yeah. But in person, it looks much better, and the transformation is actually fun.
Unlike the sex change was?
It's the movie aesthetic. Well, yes, because the sex change at this point has just been putting on some pink headphones. I still otherwise look like a man. But yeah, he's a lot more complex than I expected. He practically flips inside out.
But it's not overly complex, because I heard some reports about these being a real mess to transform.
Once you get the hang of it, it's not so bad, but it can be. It's a bit much. It's a lot more involved than I expected it to be.
The one thing I've been hearing is basically the parts collision is...
Again, you know, it can be an issue, but once you transform it a couple times and you learn what hits and what to move first and how far to move it and then move another part, you can actually do it without colliding parts if you move everything in the right sequence. I've transformed it about 3 or 4 times now, and I'm getting better at it.
Dead air.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm transforming the robot.
Well, look, Bryce, you got to show that combined now.
It was already combined.
Did you show the picture of it? Was there anything else?
I scored a local deal. Ended up with Minbox, Menasaur, or Motormaster.
Nice.
Wow.
Insert paperwork and everything in there.
That's cool.
Is it
Canadian or U.S.?
Canadian.
Ah.
I got him and Blaster.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any difference in the toy between those two, correct?
No. Yeah, we didn't get the launcher.
Okay.
Oh, no? Yeah.
He's got it converted here. There's the Evasion Mode Prime next to G1 Prime. And, he's actually deceptively bigger in robot mode.
Yeah, he does a really good job of like compressing when he transforms into a truck.
And here he is next to High Octane Bumblebee.
Yeah.
He's actually quite tall.
Yeah, I like that figure. I was pleasantly surprised. I had low expectations when I got it, but I really like it.
Well, damn it!
What?
That's just another toy I've got to get then.
I just love the
damn fact you straight to hell for bringing me something that I want to buy now.
I just love the fact that in the first Michael Bay movie, he told all the fans, well, we didn't want him to be a cab over because we needed the mass of the long-nosed truck. But yeah, this is the movie design that transforms into a cab over truck with no problems.
Didn't he say something about how he ate Dinobots too?
Yeah.
Well, the mass shifting thing. I don't know if you guys have talked about the new trailer yet.
No, no, actually,
has anybody, have y'all heard or watched
it? I have not seen the new trailer yet.
Really?
I have not watched it because I'm wanting to cut down on my spoilers for it.
Okay. Well, it's not really a whole lot of spoilers, but I will say this: I watched it yesterday, I think. Like Lockdown turns into a Lamborghini. Okay, but there's a scene in the rope in the movie or in the trailer where Lockdown and Prime are fighting, and they're the same size. So Michael Bay's whole mass shifting, we need the extra mass at the front of the truck. He made a Lamborghini transform into a robot as tall as a Freightliner.
That's quite a feat.
Yeah, the mass shifting thing's been thrown out the window at this point.
Lockdown was eating his Energon O's.
The whole gun face thing is a little bit weird.
Weird isn't awesome.
Yeah,
a gun transforms out of his face.
Yes,
that's cool.
Yeah,
these are giant freaking alien robots. What would you expect him to do? Pull it out of his rear end?
No, that was the plot.
No, that would make him Cybertron Megatron. A Cybertron Beast Wars Megatron.
No, actually, you stuck the key up his butt.
Yeah. But,
yeah, Evasion Mode Optimus, if you have the Dark of the Moon Megatron, the Voyager truck, he comes with a gun that looks like the shotgun Megatron used in Dark of the Moon, in the movie itself, and it will fit in the hand of Dark of the Moon Megatron toy. He can hold it. Actually, like, back here by the handle.
Instead where of it's here. Supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, that design is to fit that toy.
Isn't that the gun that he executed?
Sentinel Prime?
I'm not playing. Yeah, Sentinel Prime, yeah, in Dark of the Moon.
Yeah, I think so, because that's what he did after he...
No, he took Megatron's gun.
Yeah, he killed Megatron first, yeah. And then killed Sentinel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a most gruesome way, yeah.
Fascinating. Okay, Brycey, you were showing off some stuff that you got?
I was done.
Oh, you're done?
I've got a few more, but I'm not hogging the whole segment.
Well,
I think Megamix had something to pop up.
What was the one thing that you wanted to talk about most? Was it the Lyo or?
Lyo's not here yet.
Oh, okay.
So probably Raiden. Got it from Dew on TFW. Guy's always got some nice pieces.
Very nice.
Fun to deal with. So yeah. That was probably one of my biggest grails. Pretty, really mint. Still got the little green connectors on the screw and everything.
He can do the chicken neck thing as he walks.
He can do the chicken neck thing.
Uh-huh.
And he can.
Oh, our viewers can't see. Got Optimus' head moves back and forth like a chicken.
Peacock! Megamus, you want to talk about some Ouch My Wallet?
Well, I'm going to go away from the Transformers line.
Okay.
Did you buy GoBots? Please tell me you bought
no,
GoBots.
No, he has a Hot Toys. Holy crap, that thing is huge.
That's what she said.
And it's big and it's black. Go. Look how black that thing is.
She didn't say that to me.
She did to me. There he is.
You got skin issues going on?
Wow. I
love it. And it is heavy. The diecast, there's definitely a lot of diecast in it, and that is the diecast Hot Toys War Machine.
I didn't realize they were that big though.
12 whole inches, like something else I know.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Oh, is that our
boyfriend?
Well, the problem was is you said pick one, but I was kind of gonna pick two because this just came in today.
Ultron, Defender of the Universe.
Yeah, and he's cool. Don't get me wrong; he's definitely I like him, love him.
He's hip. He's fly.
But this is just too cool. All right, the base, and those that are familiar with the show, you got the base, and you have the key. You take the key, put it in the base, just like in the show. If I can do it here. Close this to make the key. And then when it connects.
Oh, no, that's neat.
Now, the only problem with it is, if you leave the key in, every once in a while, it roars at you. Just decides to roar.
Like being married. Like that. So often your wife will just roar at you.
Just for no reason. Mm-hmm. But
mine roars at me, but it's usually when she's happy.
It's usually for a reason.
So there you go. There you go. The only thing I've noticed, and I've literally had it for...
Now, is that the Masterpiece Voltron, or...?
Yeah, this is the 25th anniversary. The only thing I don't like, and trust me, it'll stand just fine. No problems. But the hip... They're on ball joints. So I might have to go in there and tighten them up some. But, I mean, just standing there or even posing him, he's fine.
How much does the Masterpiece Voltron usually run?
I think they're $225.
That's not too bad.
Are they out of production? Or are they still available? Or are you
gonna they're still there. They're still there. They just came out. They just released them.
Yeah, that's the revamped version with the lights and...
Yeah,
that's the same as the first version that came out a couple of years ago.
Yes, but now that it has that. Let's see if we can get it in the. There we go. As the glow up, the light up lies. So, very nice. So those are the two that I couldn't decide which, but neither one are Transformers. So, little variety.
Well, now you need the Miracle Works Vehicle Voltron to go with it.
I've got Voltron 1, if I remember correctly. Voltron 1, and I'm working on Voltron. Is it Lion 3 or 2? I can't remember. I'm working on the other one. So.
I remember. Here a couple months ago. I started watching Voltron, Defender of the Universe on Hulu Plus, and I didn't realize that they really didn't assemble Voltron for the first time until like episode like 4 or 5.
Yeah, because they had to find him.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you saw glimpses of it and flashbacks.
The only thing about that whole the thing that I thought was just kind of stupid is, if you remember, they went out searching for all five lions, and the last one to find was the black one. And however, when you walked up to the castle, there's this big statue of a lion, and no one even thought to look there first. That's where the black one was.
Yeah,
so I always thought that was kind of goofy.
Yeah.
But the only thing I don't like about the War Machine is, well, it's got 1, 2, 3, 4 light-up features and has 1, 2, 3, 4 switches. You switch them all up individually. So you literally have to take armor pieces off.
What does it have, like a central battery, or does it have a battery for each one?
It takes those itty-bitty watch batteries. It takes 3, 6, 9, 12 of them.
Wow.
They're just all over the place.
It's like one in his hand.
Here, give you a for instance. His head plate pops up, and there's the switch for the eyes.
So the battery's in his head.
Yeah. It's made so everything, there's nothing stopping it from articulation. There's batteries in the both shoulders, batteries in the back, and batteries in the head and both arms. So, a lot of batteries.
That thing is awesome.
Dude, I need to never come to your house and see that in person, because then I'll end up buying an Iron Man, because I love Iron Man.
Well, that was the worst thing. I wasn't going to get them, because I collect a lot of Hot Toys, and I didn't want to get into the old Iron Man thing. But I actually did a trade with a guy for this, and... I must say, I now do not have that crappy, not Superion. I got rid of it. I hated that thing so much.
Well, the
I didn't know you was looking to trade it.
I hate it. You don't want that thing.
Yeah.
That thing. Oh God, I hate it.
Yeah, I was.
I loved Blackbird.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like
it would fall under its own weight. It couldn't hold it. I mean, there was nothing you could do to make it work. So I just got rid of it.
Yeah, the only hot toys I ever wanted was the. I think they did a Mark V Iron Man outfit, and I wanted the Hot Toys Keaton Batman and Nicholson Joker.
Well, my very first one I ever got was the Jack Nicholson Joker. That was the very first one. When it came out, I was like, I'm going to get it. And then I started getting all the Batman. That was the big thing. And Captain America, Hulk, which Hulk is huge. And this, like I said, this is my first time going into the Iron Man. So I'm afraid I still have the room for them. They're too big. So I'm going to stay away from the whole Iron Man series.
Keep telling yourself that.
I know. But then I look over there and like the Avengers are missing Iron Man. Might have to get it.
Wow. So, Tobias, have you got an Ash My Wallet item?
No, nothing, because I'm saving up for BotCon.
What was the most recent figure that you got?
A non-transformer toy. It was a G.I. Joe figure from the subscription service. I think it was Tollbooth.
Tollbooth?
Yeah.
Nice one.
Very nice.
They're getting toll booth workers and putting them in the Joe line. They run out of soldiers.
That was actually one I was surprised that they made it a subscription figure.
It's because
he wasn't that popular in the original series.
Well, I think it's because the G.I. Joe line is dead. They've disbanded the military. They all had to go get other jobs. So now he's a toll booth worker.
Well, I think what it is that they're getting more obscure characters, whereas I think I'd like to see some too. You know, like Def Con, all that. I'd like to see some more obscure characters for Transformers. But Joe's, they're actually getting it.
Yeah, absolutely. We got... I also got... I don't know where he is now, but... Cesspool.
What an awesome name.
But... That's another one I can't believe they redid that, too. That was a horrible character. Horrible.
But the figure is really great. They did a good job with him.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing... I'm not a big Joe person. You know, my favorite Joe is the Matt Tracker specialist from a few years ago.
Because that's the only one I have.
But one of my favorite classic Joes is Fast Draw. Because the man basically wears missiles on his arms. It's like, how much of a badass do you have to be if your sidearms are missiles that you wear?
That's cool. No, so I'm just saving up, so no big expenses for my part.
If you're able to get that box set from BotCon, that's going to be a prize enough.
That's
Scorponok. I want to. I mean, it's just basically Energon Scorponok with a G1 head on it. But
it's a cool toy.
It is a cool toy. I liked it whenever I had the Energon. Oh my God! I just said I liked an Energon toy.
Well, the Energon has some decent Decepticons. Those
I have to admit that. Yeah.
And you know, Megamus has thrown the black version of that toy multiple times on this show, so we know it's a good toy because it didn't break.
And Fun Publications have released it once before in 2011 as Double Punch.
Yeah. Yeah, I had that one.
Sold it,
yeah. Because I really don't identify with Double Punch. But I really, 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 really hope that they do a Black Zarek out of this mold with that new head.
Well, I'll be honest, Werewolf, that's one thing I'm thinking is that I don't think the Collectors Club could get enough produced through the subscription service to make the Black Zarek a viable member of 3.0. So I'm hoping that Black Zarek will be one of the add-on figures so they can go ahead and get enough return on investment.
Part of the deal that I've worked out to get my box set, I'm actually giving the person that I worked it out with, I'm going to give them some extra money to take to the convention. And if by chance Black Zarek is one of the bag sets, I told him to scoop one of those up for me. But I'm also hoping, you know, like Brett was saying about some obscure characters or, you know, lesser known characters. I'd like to see squeeze play out of something, maybe a horrible. Because, you know, we've gotten night beats and things. You know, I'd like to see some of the junior headmasters homaged into some of the late G1, Euro G1s like Snare. I'd like to see him. Didn't Snare appear in one of the comics here recently?
One of the IDW ones, I think.
So I mean, it would make sense to maybe having a new updated version of him. Maybe I know it's been used a number of times, but the jet mode really lends to it. Is the Terradize mold? Maybe see that done up a Snare because he
well, it's a good mold.
Yeah.
Well, I'm of the mindset, since we're talking about Black Zarek, I think it's going to be a subscription service toy next year. Because I think, you know, they use it as a BotCon toy, they factor it into the cost, so they've already paid for the tooling. At this point, wherever they release Zarek, he's just extra money in the bank. They factored the cost into the tooling for the BotCon set. I don't think they'll do it because it's just a large toy. I don't think they'll do it at BotCon the same year they release Scorponok. It would either be next year or year after. Well, they did it in 2010. After. Well, I think it would be either next year or year after. Well, I mean, it's the same large toy twice in the same year.
I wouldn't stop them. Because I didn't. We're talking BotCon.
Yeah, but typically they make a repaint when you get two toys, when you buy the box and all the add-ons. Usually if you get two of the same toy, it's usually the deluxes. Usually the larger toys only get used once in the set.
Yeah, but this particular one, I am of the mindset that, and I know a lot of fans are, it's like, if they have a Black Zarek, how many people will be shut up and take my money?
Well, think about it, though. They're trying to get this figure subscription service up and going. What's going to get more people to subscribe than a Black Zarek in the subscription? They'll sell the most subscriptions that they've ever sold if they did that. And I think now I see that being, if they don't do that, it'll be an add-on set in a year or two, kind of like the way they released, you know, Shatterglass stuff like a couple of years after Shatterglass set, or, you know, like a previous, you know, they release toys that go with the previous set all the time.
Well, like the tracks, the Shatterglass tracks was a couple of years after the actual Shatterglass set. So
just to let you know, Swage just chimed in when you asked what would sell better, and he said Jenna Jameson.
That's already been sold.
Shut up and take my money. Hey, I already have a Jenna.
Who cares about the chlamydia?
I already have a Jenna. So,
but doesn't anyone have a headmaster joke about that?
All I got is see this hot dog, see this hallway, see the problem.
I wouldn't have.
That's
that
okay. I'll be the hot dog on that one.
I got a Pringles can, so I wouldn't be happy. I don't care
how many movies she's made, how good she looks. Hot dog in a hallway. Not just that, but it's a really nasty hallway. Probably lots of diseases creeping down the walls. I'm not touching that.
Well, put three condoms on it.
Well, you might as well just go down here and bang some other chick because you're not.
But it's Jenna Jameson. So, listener question: would you bang Jenna Jameson?
I wouldn't bang Jenna Jameson with your penis. Huh?
Okay. Here,
that's going. Yay.
But Don, you have any ouch my wallet?
Well, I'm going to do something what Dr. Archiville said. I'm going to count BotCon as ouch my wallet because of the airfare that is being part of the necessity. And I know the airfare has nothing on you, Dr. Archibald, I'm sure of that. But a cross-country flight for me is $570 plus the price of the BotCon Primus package and an extra add-on set, a loose set. So
I don't want to hear it. I'm bringing the whole family.
It's me and a cat, and I haven't bought any toys. So this is the only ouch my wallet thing that I've got.
I understand, but I mean, BotCon to me, $2,000, I haven't even bought a toy. That's without buying the toys.
Yeah. So that's my ouch, my wallet is just everything hitting at once with BotCon and the airfare. But because there's been no toys to buy. I guess toy-wise, the most expensive thing I've got, I got a pre-order in for the iGear Defense Specialist at Big Bad, and that was probably it. But that's really, there's been nothing for me to buy lately because there's just been nothing on the shelves.
That guy?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Well, I've got the Ironhide. It's just I figured now that I have the Ratchet, I can sell these guys.
Oh, those things, they were such a major disappointment to me.
Don, do you have the Ratchet in that size? Because he's actually worth a decent money.
Yes, I have both. I also have them carded. And I am debating, I may be doing a booth at TFCon, maybe. And if it is, I'll be bringing a lot of carded Generations and Universe stuff. It's all in the ether.
The TFCon or the knockoff?
No, the Chicago version.
Knockoff.
Knockoff.
Third party. Knock third party.
Off, no, the same people. Hey, no customs. Shut up. Anyway.
But you and your Canadians and your silly conventions.
Hey, Don, you better hurry up and get your table then, because I think they're going to sell out.
I know it's. Again, with everything been going on with the house and now BotCon, and I'm trying to do it in stages. Otherwise, I'm going to be just overloaded with stuff going on. Plus, I'm trying to sell the house. So I just got a lot going on right now. But that's my ouch, my wallet, which, again, I know there's people a lot worse off than me, but that's just what it is for me.
Fair enough.
You didn't buy that new Headmaster RC that came out? Come on, I guess I listened to RFC. Those guys have been cracking up at that.
Oh, yes. Brian, they just love tormenting me. One day, well, a friend of mine said, Don, I thought about, originally I thought I was not, this would be the BotCon I skip. Because I've just been wanting to skip, I've been wanting to take a year off and do some other things. But he said, no, you need to go to this one for sure. I said, why is that? I said, you are going, they're going to call you up on stage. And they are going to announce, why they did for Walkie a couple years ago, that you're going to be getting your RC finally. And I said, yeah. I'm not going to hold my breath on that.
Well, it probably won't be a Headmaster, but I bet they'll reveal the Generations RC at the show.
It'd be nice.
Know she's coming.
Be nice.
We just got to see pictures.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just after asking for most of the last 19 years at this point, it didn't happen.
And saying Galvatron got it wrong.
Well, of course, I've never transformed the toy before.
Yeah.
I got close.
No, you didn't.
Well, the arm you was suck. Off. Everything else is close.
You suck. I like the way they look like this. It looks more like a cape thing.
Like a headrest?
Yeah. And then
I saw that, I put it in there.
But
actually, I pulled it out and then I put it back in. That's what she likes.
Ha 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 ha.
Well, download listeners, I'm talking about the knife that he just pulled out of the toy's tail.
Yes. Now, Scorn has been transformed twice on this podcast. But, yeah, that's essentially it. Well, my ouch, my wallet was, of course, the Age of Extinction toys. And big props to Suede 66 picking up my Skylinks that I've been looking for a long time.
Yeah, is that the original or the reissue?
This is the Takara Encore. But I actually wanted the Takara Encore simply because he's typically in better condition than most Skylinks. Yeah. But then Orson at Captured Prey goes and picks up a vintage Skylinks like a couple weeks ago that it's like bone white and perfect and still in the box. And he gets it for like next to nothing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which he proceeds to give to me.
Oh, he did, huh? Really?
Yes, he did.
Well, I thought he wanted it for his collection, and if I knew he was going to get rid of it, I would have asked him for it. But did you get the Stunicons that he had, too?
No.
Oh.
No. No, I just got that.
But I think my favorite thing that I've picked up, I got from Megamus at the recent Kentucky meetup, is Snapdragon. It's probably my second favorite headmaster.
Wasn't it the Midwest area meetup?
Yes.
Yeah. You said the Kentucky meetup. But
oh,
it was
I'm sorry. Well, yeah, it was.
Midwest.
Midwest. Yes, we had to grow a little bit out to get more fans. And actually, it was quite a great meetup, in my opinion.
It was very good. Very good. I loved it.
Can't wait for the next one. We are going to do one later this year, aren't we?
That's the plan. The plan is to do, well, they talked about doing it 3 times a year. But I think if we can get 2 in, I think we'll be lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I was starting to say with as many conventions as there are, getting
especially
3,
towards the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. And also with winter time, a lot of people, if the winter weather is bad, it's hard to travel in the winter time. True, but, true. You know, I know me personally, I drive for a living, and I don't want to drive in winter weather any more than I absolutely have to. But, you know, if we do have a meetup, I'm going to try to get to it. You know. Did you have anything for Ouch My Wallet besides?
Well, just the Evasion Prime and the High Octane Bumblebee. It seems like I know I've bought stuff other than that, but I'm drawing a blank. Because I haven't been buying much.
Well, I know I haven't received anything here.
Well, no, it's been coming home to do anything. I know. I think the most recent things before that I got was the Scoop and that Minicon 3-pack in Generations. I picked those up. I picked up a Whirl. I did get Whirl. Saw him in a store. I think that's pretty much all I've picked up lately. Because I haven't really been seeing anything, and I've got some stuff in a pile of loot, but I haven't shipped it yet, so I don't really count it as having it.
Yeah, that's me. I've got Cosmos and Swerve, and
I went Capture Prey with those.
As seldomly as I'm on the show, I should probably mention what I have in there. I have the Masterpiece Rat Bat that came with the free Sound Blaster. I got the Masterpiece G2 Sideswipe. I got the he's an expensive little bugger. That rat bat was. I also picked up the Tetra Jets when they were on sale, $20 a pop. I got the, it was actually less than $20 when you buy all 7. I couldn't pass up that deal. I have a few of their toys, and they're not that, I have the Alligator Con. Their quality, it's a shame their first release at RC was so bad. It kind of gave us a bad reputation for quality, because they improved it quite a bit. The Alligators were great. The only thing I see wrong with those Tetra Jets is just the head sculpt. You know, they had a little better sculpting, but from what I hear, the quality of the toys themselves are pretty good.
Yeah. Well, I picked up the Not Thrust just because that was one of the few that they had left that I liked. He's sitting in there too.
I wanted the Sunstorm, but I ultimately passed on it.
Well, I got the 7.
Yeah, because I'm thinking about getting the Toys R Us Sunstorm when it comes out, the Masterpiece version.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, as anybody has seen from that recent picture I posted, I'm all about the orange and yellow Transformers.
Well, you and XB have a lot in common, then. That's his favorite color, too.
Which is why you're excited about that Genrai, huh? From BotCon?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I have to agree. RFC this week, I think it was XV, made a comment about, and then posted a link in the comments to their podcast, too. Somebody done a digibash of Classics Prime into Hi-Q colors as an alternative way to put Genrai in the set, but not look like Optimus Prime. And I got to say, that looked a lot better than an orange and red Optimus.
But it's Fire Guts. Fire Guts was orange and red.
Yeah, but it didn't have to be. Yep. It could have just been Genrai and been in Hi-Q.
Yeah, but it's Fire Guts Genrai.
I'll say it again. If they would have made it in translucent colors, I'd have a whole new story. I think it would look great.
Yeah.
Would look
awesome. Well, the one thing I want to say about that is, I mean, Fire Guts is not my favorite, but I can understand why they did that. Because it really, even though they budgeted the Scorponok into the set, how much did they have left after all was said and done? No pun intended. You know, for few other things in the set without totally busting the budget.
Well, doing Prime and Hi-Q colors isn't really, there's no remolding or anything, just different color choices.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm just thinking the way Hasbro is sort of shied away from, you know, paint.
Yeah. Has Funpub ever done, I know they did it for the Club Toys whenever with Nexus Maximus, the combiner limbs and everything, they were translucent plastic. But have they ever done a BotCon toy in completely translucent?
Mirage. Oh, 07 Mirage.
The
clear blue.
The clear blue, the phasing one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yes, they could.
I just didn't remember if they had done one.
It's okay. I asked them about it, and I was told no. That's all I was told. No.
No. No. All right. Well, let's.
That was the explanation I got.
Let's move on to our final little piece of discussion topic: buying and selling and trading etiquette between fans. We'll talk about that. Now, buying and selling and trading between fans, we've all done it. We sell on eBay, we buy on eBay. And there are, we've talked about this before on an earlier episode, but the etiquette of things, I mean, this last week has really made me just like, I just don't understand.
So frustrated you pulled all your hair out.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, I have no hair left, people. I had a nice long goatee and it's gone. And it's all because of other fans. Yeah. No, seriously though, I make it no secret. I have my Fans Project M3 Intimidator up on eBay. And I've had it up there for a couple weeks, and by about $40 to $50, I am the cheapest set on eBay. I'm cheaper than TF Source and other private sellers. They have closed for $350 to $400, and you know, I've put them up there, and you know, instead of you know a reasonable offer, I'm constantly getting people offering me $200. I had one low offer as low as $150 for the set.
That's like buying diesel and getting the other stuff free.
Yeah. And I'm like, why? I understand wanting a good deal, but offering something that low ball is really... It's kind of insulting, you know, and it just I really don't understand it. And one guy tried to argue with me that because they're opened and have been transformed, you can automatically deduct a quarter to half their price. And
that's new math.
Well, he said diesel, you could easily take $70 off of his price because he's been opened.
What?
And I'm like, I really don't see the logic behind that.
The law.
Yeah. Well, I just got to thinking about the etiquette of things, you know, and I'll get to that again whenever we go talking some more about it. But, Brett, you said you've made trades through eBay before, but honestly, I was taken aback by people actually offering to trade instead of buy on eBay.
Well, it's not common practice, but it's happened. I've gotten some really good trades that way. It's just, if you look at eBay as just another way of opening communications between, you know, two fans or collectors, whatever you call it. It's just another avenue to use. My biggest problem, and we talked about this before, and I really am. I'm the guy that you're not going to insult me with an offer of money. You're just not. I mean, you can lowball the crap, and all I can do is say no. That doesn't bother me. But we were kind of leading into when you and I were talking before, wasting someone's time. On the other hand. Is ridiculous. If you have no intentions of actually buying something at close to its value, at least. I understand everyone wants to get the deal of the century, and I don't blame anyone for shooting off a low ball offer, all right? Because you might get it, and then, you know, more power to you. But at some point, you got to be realistic about things and not just keep prolonging it and wasting people's time. That's my only problem. And that's been happening, not so much frequently, but it's definitely been on all avenues. You know, Facebook, TFW, it happens. Everyone's got their people that drag their feet, and eventually you figure it out. They have no interest in doing whatever, and they're just wasting your time.
Well, I can understand if you inquire about a price, and the price is quoted to you, and it's nowhere near the price that you are interested in paying, and you pass. That's different. I mean, you inquire about a price, but if you make an offer and have no intention to buy, really, I mean, it's etiquette.
Yeah, you're just wasting people's time. That's all, you know. And well, this is kind of a catch 22 here. You get people out there that just put like an insane price on something, mm-hmm. and they'll throw it out on eBay or whatever, and you're going to get the people that snicker and laugh, this, that, and the other. And if you're that person, if you're the person that put that insane price out there, just be ready for it, you know. And I don't see a problem with that. I really don't. If you truly believe that your item is worth that amount and someone's willing to pay it, it'll happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole idea of getting offended with snickering or whatever. Now, I mean, someone that's just badgering you, I mean, that's a little different. But, yeah, the big thing is you got to have fun. It's all about fun anyway. You know, you're trading, you're collecting, help build your own collection, help other collectors out. It's you got to have fun. If it's not fun, then get out of it.
Yeah,
don't do it.
But I mean, the whole idea of offering, you know, like you said, there's getting a deal, and then there's offering way less than what a figure is worth. For example, like the $200 offer on Intimidator, and the $150 offer. You know, it's like, You're basically asking to get Diesel and then the four other Linbots for free. And
it depends on how you look at it. It really does.
I don't have a problem with low
maybe
balls if you
well
have price.
Maybe they thought this guy needs money. He's in a pinch. And he's going to sell it, and I'll get a great deal. You type it in, say this is my offer. You say no. Okay, I tried. But if you're going to continue to with the low ball offers, or it doesn't go anywhere, no. I'm not going to say that I'm upset at someone for trying to get something next to free. I mean, it's your prerogative. Go ahead and try. Can't hurt to try.
Well, to me, it's stupid. I mean, here's why. Okay, if he puts it up for sale, says, hey, I got an Intimidator for sale, and doesn't list a price, sure, shoot him a low ball. You never know. You might get lucky. He might be in that pinch. Here's the way I look at it. If he's priced the toy at $350 shipped, then he's got in mind a certain amount he's going to take. He wouldn't if he was just in a pinch, would take a $150 offer, he would list it for $150. You know,
perhaps.
Or start the auction at
the same way.
Yeah, or start an auction at $150. I mean, if he's in a pinch, he's willing to take that little. He's going to start out asking less. I mean, obviously, most people, when they price something, they put some thought into here's what it's worth. Here's
well, it's like Brett. He, you know, whenever you sell an item, you pretty much know what you have in it, right?
Yep.
And you don't want to lose money on it. I mean, sometimes you might have to in order to make a bigger sale or
sure.
You know, keep somebody happy. But those are extenuating circumstances. But in general, you don't want to lose money if you know what you have in it. You know, it's like...
That would be the general idea, yes.
Yeah. So... You know, I can understand, like, current stuff. If I wanted to sell this guy, I mean, he's recent, and there's some places that you can still find him on shelf. He's not easily found anymore, but there's still some places you can find him on the shelf. I wouldn't expect to get full price. Matter of fact, I'd lose money on him. But if I wanted to get rid of it, I would, you know, and I was willing to get rid of it just to clear space on my display shelves, I would take a loss. Some of the things that I have sold knowingly taking a loss, but it's because I wanted to clear out space.
Well, like we were just talking about with that War Machine I got, I took a loss on that. I mean, that was the not Superion. it was well more way more expensive. Now I got a little bit of cash to offset it, but I took a loss on it. But I didn't want it. I didn't like it, and I liked the War Machine, so it worked out better for me.
And it's
conversely, the guy that got it, he got a good deal. He's happy. Everyone's happy.
Well, one thing I wanted to bring up, if I could, Werewolf, is not really on eBay, but at places like BotCon, etiquette at places at BotCon. Can I bring that up?
Exactly, yeah. Well, this is in general.
Soap.
Yeah, this is in general.
Talk about soap and taking a shower. Soap and taking a shower at BotCon.
Yeah.
Number one rule. If you're the only person and everyone's walking away, you stink. Okay?
Good.
Plain and simple.
Right.
But go ahead.
Part of the dealer's room at BotCon, or any convention you go to, anime, movie, convention, whatever the case, San Diego, whatever, the bartering is part of the process to some degree.
Sometimes it's part of the fun.
It's part of the fun. But, you know, like places like Big Bad, for example, I'm just using an example, you know, they're really not going to – they're bringing stuff that they sell in the store for a certain price. And unless you buy a volume amount or it's, you know, a big ticket item, you know, keep in mind that, you know, some of these stores, they're selling it online for a certain price. You can offer them a little bit less, but just, you know, don't, as it's saying, don't go up and say, hey, I want these five Knot Stunicons. Here's $200.
Yeah.
I mean, that's rude. I mean,
maybe rude, but just more along the lines of being stupid.
You're talking about
something that's brand new. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. I know Orson for a fact. I mean, he'll gauge his product. He'll get the pricing so that, you know, he makes some money, and then he'll have deals at the show that, you know, that are cheaper, and you know, it's just the way he can, you know, maybe make a little less or break even and bring people in to buy more things, this, that, and the other. And I know that in volume that he cuts deals. So, but yeah. I mean, I don't think, once again, I don't think you're going to insult. I would not be insulted by it. I would just simply say no. And I mean, trust me. I mean, I've been to a lot of conventions, and I've had some lowball offers, and it's just really easy for me to say no.
Yeah, you should have sold me that bludgeon for $50, man. You really should have.
See? And it was really easy because I went, no.
Well, I'm just saying that because, you know, if it's your first convention, it's very hard to get overwhelmed. All the stuff going on and so much product and the wheeling and the dealing and people carrying, and you get lost in it, especially if you're new to the whole scene.
Sure.
Just remember, put yourself in the other person's shoes. You know, don't if this person has Titanium Ultra Magnus and he's wanting $50 for it, don't offer him $25. I mean, you know,
it's funny you should say that because I just sold one for $25.
Yeah,
that's beside the point. That's okay.
Well, the year the reason I'm using that as them was the reason the year that Titanium Magnus came out, only one dealer at BotCon had any. He had three. He wanted $50 a piece for them. And a guy beside of me, I didn't know him. I didn't know him from Adam. He offered $25. And the guy said, hell no, and just turned around and walked away, which is his right. You know, that's his stuff. But the guy offering should know, if he knows what Magnus is and knows how hard it was to find at the time and offers half off when the dealer room just opened on Saturday.
Well, wait a minute. Let me just say one thing, Don. Maybe everything you said before that is correct. Maybe he is brand new to the scene. Maybe it is his first convention, and maybe he saw items like that on the shelf for like $20, which is probably what the retail was, and he thought, oh, that's a good markup for someone that's working these, because he has no idea.
Right.
So you don't really know. Now, if you have the same guy that comes back every year after year, pulling that stuff, I mean, at some point, I once again, I don't get offended, but you're just going to say no. Now, I have seen people scream. I've seen dealers scream at the top of their lungs, telling people to get the F out, leave me alone, blah, 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 this, that, and the other. And the only thing it does is it makes everyone look at them and go, man, what an ass.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm just bringing that up again, because I've seen a lot of people, it's all just if you see something you like and it's at a dealer's table and you want to offer less, just use some common sense and, you know, just try to remember these people are trying to make a living as well. Because the last thing you want to do is go into a booth and offer them like what Werewolf got offered for Intimidator.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be known as that guy. Because there's enough of that guys in every fandom.
Yep, that is true. That is true.
Well,
I was even thinking about this. You know, that'd be a good thing. We could actually have a little portion of one of our shows about tips and everything for BotCon and other conventions, probably when we get closer to BotCon. And that would be a neat little topic. But, you know, a good rule of thumb, if you're, you know, always, if you want to, you know, ask less, you know, try and get more out of it, but 10% is a good number. Most people, if you get a couple items, knock 10% off, you're happy, they're happy. That's kind of a good rule of thumb, somewhere to start.
Which is kind of what I was alluding to earlier. If somebody's got something priced, offering them half is just stupidity.
Yeah.
Well, no, but maybe if I bought like six or seven things, then maybe I would. Maybe not 50%. But you know what I mean.
In the auction example, it's a ridiculous offer. But if the guide went on there and let's say I have multiple auctions listed, and let's say he bought three other items, and said, hey, I just bought these three other items, and I want to get your Intimidator, but you know, I want to give you, say, $200 for it. I'd be like, that's a little bit too low. Can you maybe do $250? Because he's done, you know, he's already paid me for these other items. You know, he's already bought these other items. Maybe if you, you know, I'd be willing to work with somebody like that. But, you know, just come in, you know, and say, hey, $150? What? No. it's like you said, you know, I mean, I said no. But, you know, there's also something, too, about working a deal. You know, trying to find a deal. I mean, a good example was Shardacon for me last year. You know, I mean, here I was in the middle of being completely out of work. I had no money. I just took stuff that I had that I was willing to part with. And, you know, I know I tried to work with Brett. You know, we couldn't work on something out. I think I did wind up getting something from you. I can't remember what it was. But, you know, it's just working to try to get a deal. You know, there's... You know, just because you get a no doesn't mean that's it. You know, you work for it. And I went away from Shardacon with a lot of stuff that was really awesome. I wound up having to sell it to pay for my wedding. For example, like the King Jader from Brave.
Yep.
Oh my God, that was one of the most awesome toys I have ever owned, and I love that toy. And I know it's in a good home in the UK now. You know, CZ Hazard bought it. And if you're listening, shout out, man. I'm glad he bought it. I know he enjoys it. But you know, working to get a deal like that is, you know, it is actually quite rewarding. You know, it took some no's to get to it, but it worked out.
I think. Now, Megamus, you can probably you may have a different take on this, but do y'all think maybe it's also in the phrasing? Because before I was working retail, I did flea markets with my mother and father, antiques, collectibles, and I did toys. And I learned that how you phrase an offer is just as important as what you're offering. So don't walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, I'll give you such and such for that." No, you ask them, you know, would you consider taking XYZ? Because it's just how you phrase it and your whole outward demeanor that can change the whole concept of the deal.
I agree.
So you know,
but the one that I agree with more, and I think it falls along the line in wording, and I hear it. God, every convention I go to, it'll be Friday or Saturday, and you can hear people as they're looking at stuff and talking to each other, and inevitably you'll have one guy go, yeah, I'll come back on Sunday because it'll be cheaper.
Yeah, Sunday is a whole...
But I disagree. I 100% disagree, and here's why. As Duren said, I know what I have in each of my items, and I can tell you right now, if you came up on a Friday and maybe the same offer that you did on a Sunday, I'll take it, because it doesn't matter what day. It's if I'm getting what I want out of it, I don't care.
Right.
So not everyone has that. There's a lot of people, and I've actually heard it. Well, I've got the only one in the room. I'm gonna wait till Sunday. Why? Why? If you're willing to sell it on Sunday for this price, sell it on Friday for that price.
Oh, I mean, that's true. It's just Sunday is the day in which you might get from some dealers better deals, because
absolutely. Not everyone has the same thought process that I do. Some exactly. people are like, on a Sunday, man, they're like, man, I don't want to pack this stuff up.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Can you afford to wait till Sunday if it's still there?
Well, I can tell you that was one thing I was going to say. If we do this, and we can still do it as a refresher, but one of the things I found is helpful, when you go into the dealer room, especially if it's your first time, you're going to be overwhelmed, and you start looking.
God.
And let's say it's something, and we'll get into the whole making a list, and on the side maybe put prices that you know they're going for, and maybe what you want to pay and stuff like that. That's always good preparation. But let's say you go in there, and this toy's right there, and it's a good price, and you want it. Not maybe slag, because a lot of people have slag, but you know what I mean. And you think, well, may not be there when I come around. I better grab it now. And you grab it. Other things that, you know, it's a brand new toy, and like four or five people have it. I'm going to float around the room, do the pricing, because, you know, some people are cheaper before I buy it. So, yeah, but... Yeah, you could wait till Sunday, but yeah, you take the risk that someone's gonna get free to
this guy here at Shardacon. Right after San Diego Comic Con, there was a couple people that had the Titan Metroplex, and they were asking ungodly prices for that guy at Shardacon.
$250.
Yeah, it's like two. Well, I think there was one that was well over $300. And
it wasn't the SDCC version that might have been worth that. It was this version.
It was that one right there. And then not even a month later, Costco gets them, and there's pallets of them for $80. It's kind of humorous.
Well, what did I tell you? I put that posting up on Facebook about the Grimlock, the animated version. That all of a sudden they decide they're going to do a second release of it. Now everyone's throwing up them on eBay for like $700-$800. So,
the King Grimlock.
Yeah.
Now that one does it have like all chrome on the dyno
it's,
mode? Or
my understanding is it's chrome and it's more in animated colors. That's the only reason I was going to get it, just because it is
colors.
Different.
Yeah. I think instead of black, it's got the dark blue like the comics would use.
There's pictures out there. I just know that it's definitely different. And it does have chrome, so I thought I'd get that, but I wasn't going to pay secondary market prices on that. And then, like I said, that was funny. All of a sudden, everyone that's been hoarding them and wanting them, I know there's one guy that's got like four of them up there for like $600 or $700, and I think they're only like $225, something like that, pre-order. And I think honestly, we were talking about this too. I think honestly, once they get a price point on it, it's probably gonna be cheaper than that.
Yeah. Now
it's $259.
Yeah.
Brett, you said there was some discussion earlier on Facebook about the global shipping on eBay.
Yeah, Mike's been doing it for a while now, and I was asking him. Let me see if I can recap a little bit. Basically, I just asked him how it works. If eBay like held all your money until the item was actually shipped or whatever, and he said no. It's just like anything else, except you don't ship it to the person. You're going to ship it to. Like his local one would be in Kentucky. You ship it to an eBay store, and then they ship it out. That way they get confirmation they got it from you. You're off the hook. You're done. Then all the shipping goes on eBay, and that's how they get their guaranteed shipping.
Yeah, because that's always real tricky, because to do international tracking is so expensive. And it's real easy if you don't have tracking for someone to say, hey, I never got it. And then you have no proof.
Like my example that I had earlier, you know, shipping to Italy. You know, I mean, I shipped it to the guy, and a month later, he opens a support ticket saying that I never shipped the item when, in fact, I did. I had tracking, but I checked the tracking, and once it left the United States, it just completely disappeared off the radar.
Right. And, well, that's the other thing I asked him. And he said, first class international, just tracked inside the U.S., but now includes delivery confirmation. He says, none of that applies to the global program. All you got to do is go to the eBay center. Let's see what else he had to say.
So if you ship it via the global thing or global shipping policy, and the person claims that they do not get it, then they're basically calling eBay a liar. Then,
well, it's not just that things get lost in the mail.
Yeah,
but then it's eBay's responsibility, and you're off the hook.
Well, Bryce, you said it's a ripoff.
They tack on a lot of fees.
There's a lot of fees. There's conversion fees, shipping differential fees, and everything.
I think that's all on the
buyer, though.
Yeah. The seller doesn't even see it.
Oh, really?
They don't know what's going on until... Because I asked one of TFW members that was selling some stuff. It's like, did you know about this? And sent him a screenshot. And he swore a few times and hasn't used it since.
Well, that's why I say if I ship to Canada, like for Intimidator, I know it's a little bit more. For some reason, it's a lot more to ship to Canada, and I tacked on 15 extra to what I would normally ship. You know, if it cost me 15, then I would charge 30 to ship to Canada, because it's just weird the way it. You know, something that might cost me $6 to ship to Michigan may cost 12 to ship to Canada, and it was strange because I shipped CZ Hazard, the big box of Brave stuff to the UK. I shipped it USPS, and it cost me like $80, and that box weighed every bit of 20 pounds. And I was really surprised it was a lot, but I was surprised how little it cost. And just out of curiosity, I asked the postmaster, whenever he told me how much it was, I asked him, I said, just out of curiosity, if I wanted to send it to Ontario, how much would it cost? And he came back, it was close to $90. Just to ship it to Canada. And I'm like, why is it cheaper to ship it to the UK? He shrugged his shoulders, and he didn't even know.
Don't you know geography? It's because the UK is closer.
Oh, yeah. Well, here's something.
My Lyokaiser this week, by first class, cheapest way, was $20. So, I've had boxes up to $60 from the States.
Dude,
but
UK is in Lexington, dude. It's so much closer.
I have no answer to that.
Well, I've said, I hate
Bieber. That's the problem, see? Wow. Bieber's from my town, so they just don't want to cheap
shipping.
Wait,
you admit that?
Unfortunately.
Now, is shipping inside Canada as expensive?
We have a card called the Venture One, which basically, like, for what you guys would say first class, it would put it up to what I guess you call priority for nothing. Mm. So it's not that bad. Still like $12 for 5 or 6 deluxes, but.
Well, I've actually sent some packages from my sales in a USPS priority box to California, cheaper than going to Louisiana. And I'm in Virginia, and I've even sent first class packages to Canada, cheaper than sending a first class package to Texas. I mean,
there's this whole this whole zone thing and everything.
Yeah, but every time I think I've got it figured out, something else pops up. It doesn't make any sense. It should not be cheaper for me to send to California a Generations Deluxe when I send the same Deluxe to Louisiana and it's $3 more.
I don't know how that happens to you. Anytime I send something to California, it's expensive. I can send to anywhere else, and let's say it's, you know, $5 to $6 for priority.
Yeah.
And then when it goes to California, it's 10 or 11 automatically. And I'm like, and then of course, you know, people get upset in California. Well, that's too high. Buddy, get on the website, punch in the same numbers I did. I'm not making. I don't make money on shipping.
Yeah.
You know, it's the United States Post Office that does it. But I can tell you right now, for bigger packages, the way to go is FedEx. FedEx Ground is perfect. I use it more than anything.
Except they use it for football. They play footy with it.
No, that's UPS. I used to work there.
Tobias, in Europe, you alluded to this earlier whenever you was talking about some things. Shipping over there, just getting things not just from the States but other places. What's it like for you, and what's it like domestically?
Domestically, it's not that bad. I think I have to agree with Bryce. It's around 12 bucks if you convert it to dollars. And within the European community, the EU, there is no custom charges or fees, which there are if you order something from the States, for example, or Japan or whatever. And those fees are ridiculous. I don't know how they assess the cost.
Now, is it different, like if you were, let's say if you were shipping something from Sweden to Germany or Sweden to the UK, is the prices far different, or?
No, they're mostly the same. Not too bad. I think it's around, could it be $15 to $20, something like that, within the European community. So that's an important thing, because if you move outside that region to, let's say, I can't think of any country, Italy, it would be more expensive.
Italy is part of Europe, but it's not.
It's like
its own continent. It's like,
yeah.
It's Europe's boot.
Yeah,
it is.
Europe gave it the boot, so.
Yeah. So within domestically, it's fine. I have nothing to complain about. But you were talking about tracking before. I've ordered loads of things over the years from the States, and it's always... I never had any problems with it. You can track it for once it starts from within the States. Once it leaves, there's dead space. But when it enters the Swedish customs, you can begin tracking it again. And that's via USPS, United Postal Service.
I ordered a Super Robot Chogokin from Hobby Link Japan. No, it was AmiAmi a couple years ago. It was a big Volfog. And they shipped it EMS, and I believe it shipped from Hong Kong. No, it shipped from Tokyo. It shipped from Tokyo, and I was able to track it within Japan, and then for a week after it left Japan, there was nothing on it. I mean, it completely disappeared, and then I got a... there was like a reference number that linked me over to another tracking number that was applied to the same package, and it miraculously appeared in somewhere in New York. And then it took an additional two more days to get from New York to where I am here in Kentucky. And it was like, what happened to it in that span of time? You know, it was like a week and a half later, it was just gone.
And that's what I mean about that. I explain it. It's a dead space.
Yeah. And it makes you sweat, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, the best one is when you have something shipped from overseas. I've ordered something from Hobby Link Japan and have the tracking, you know, show that it arrived in New York going through customs or whatever. And the tracking says that for a week, and then all of a sudden it shows up at the door. You know, there was never any tracking updates in between. It was, you know, like the tracking still showed it in New York, but it was in my hand.
That's strange.
Yeah. I had a friend, his screen name's Wing Zero, one of the forum boards back when Transphantom was up. He came to BotCon several years ago, and he literally bought two extra suitcases because what he was buying at BotCon and at U.S. retail and at surrounding stores was so much cheaper than what he was basically paying in England. He basically got two Unicrons for the price of one at the time. They're Armada Unicron. He actually got two cheaper than what he would have to pay for one imported to the UK.
Yeah.
And he was literally bought. He said counting the money he had to pay for the suitcases, he was still coming out several hundred dollars cheaper than if he had imported just one of each of what he was getting. It's just...
But, you know, going back, tying this all back in with the etiquette thing, I know eBay seemed to crack down there for a while. There were people that was charging, you know, it's like they'd say $5 shipping for Cyclonus. I mean, not $5 shipping, $5. You know, you win it for $5, and then the shipping charges would be $35. You know, yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that as much lately.
Well, the reason why is because eBay started. The reason why they would do that is there used to not be any fees on the shipping charges. You only paid the eBay fee on the selling price. So a lot of people were doing that where they were selling toys really cheap, but then putting the rest in the shipping, overcharging on the shipping. Yeah. Well, eBay caught on to that, and now they charge a fee on the shipping as well. So if you sell an item for $10, $10 shipping, you pay your 9% or 10%, I think it's 10% now, on the $20 instead of just 10.
Yeah.
So and I have to overcharge on the shipping because to cover that, because you know if I charge exact shipping, then I pay that to the post office to actually deliver the item, then that extra fee is coming off of my purchase.
Yeah. I generally try to factor in shipping costs and fees.
I put in additional like $2 for a handling fee just to cover those fees.
And the thing of it is though, that still has not totally helped because you can still go on there and find dealers from Singapore, China, even in the U.S. that does that same, you know, $29.99 buy it now and there's like $80 shipping to ship it across country. You know, so their reasoning for doing that hasn't even worked because there's still people all the time listing it for extreme shipping costs.
I don't think eBay cares because now that they're charging a fee on that shipping, it doesn't matter anymore. They're still getting their money either way.
Exactly. Plus the whole double charging on PayPal fees as well. See, this is why I miss Crave. This is why I really miss Crave.
I never got to try that.
It was wonderful. It was really good.
Now, what happened to Crave exactly?
They just weren't doing the volume to keep the website up. That's the official version. My fault. This is me. I have no proof. This is completely from my head, which you all know is a very dangerous place. I think a rival company of some name bought them out because they would have been a threat over time to the selling format.
Yeah, I got to admit, if I started up a website that was starting to take off and eBay came up and offered me like $1 million, okay, sure.
Yeah.
No, again, I'm just saying I think someone bought them for a reason. But, you know, that's just me.
Yeah. Now, the etiquette of tacking on extra for shipping and to cover fees, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, since I do it, but I have it listed up front. Like, I have the, if I list an auction, it has on there to calculate the shipping charges, and I put in there $2 for handling, and I think from the other end, people just see, here's the total cost. Mm-hmm. So they know up front they're going to be charged $9 shipping.
Yeah.
So they know before they buy the item.
Well, it's like, for example, you know, if I just put a flat thing of $15 for shipping for Intimidator here in the U.S., you know, I figure for $15, I could pretty much ship it anywhere in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And if there's any fees, I'll eat those. That would help sell that figure. Now, for a lesser figure, or I mean a lesser price, I might charge you know, a few dollars extra for shipping, and that would help cover the fees for me. But you know, it's covered. And, you know, you see, like you said, it's, you see the price. That's the price that you pay. So whenever you get the item, it's like, hey, this only cost him $4 to ship, and he charged me $8. You know, well, I have fees I need to cover. I mean, Brett, I mean, have you done anything like that, or what's your thoughts on that?
I don't do fees. I don't charge fees.
No, I mean, like for eBay.
eBay is whatever they charge and whatever the shipping they come up with. When I do deals outside and people want to pay PayPal or whatever, I suck up the fees. That's the price of doing business. I don't believe in adding fees.
But do you think it's wrong?
Yeah, I do. I think it's wrong. I don't think you should do it. I also think that if you charge $10 to ship something and it costs $8, you refund them $2. I do that too. If I want X amount of money for this product, that's all I should receive is X amount of money for this product. I shouldn't make money off shipping or whatever else.
Well, in my case, I'm not making any money off shipping because that $2 is going to cover the $2 eBay charging me. I'm not making
money. That's the price of doing business. Then you should jack the price of your item up to cover it. You don't add fees.
Well, as long as the bottom line is the same, I mean, I don't see the difference, okay? I make the shipping $2 less and then charge $2 more for the item. The bottom line is still the same. I get the same amount of money.
Yeah.
They receive the
item. That's the way I look at it, too.
To you, but I don't look at it that way.
Yeah,
I mean, I always price my stuff so that no one, you know, I price my stuff accordingly, and that's how I keep the volume that I do, is I price it low, and I suck up the fees. It's the price of doing business.
Buyer, like you said, buyers are going to see the shipping cost and be like, hey, he overcharged me. But if it's in the price of the item already...
How can you be overcharged if you knew what you were buying to begin with?
Yeah.
It depends. Like I said, on eBay, it's been a while since I've done eBay, but I mean, they have the set price on the shipping based on weight and everything. But like just doing deals on TFW or whatever, I tell people, I say, I'm guessing on this, and I tell them right off the bat, if it's more than that, I'll cover it because that's my fault. If it's less than that, I'll refund you the difference, and I do it all the time.
Now, to your point about just, you know, eating the fees or sucking them up because of the price of doing business, you know, the fees I'm charged for the price of the item and the PayPal fees, yeah, those, I just suck those up. I don't charge extra for that. I mean, whatever the auction closes at, I have the shipping listed, calculates as $2 for handling, which I only put the handling charge to help even cover the fees they put on the shipping, not the other fees, just the shipping.
That's eBay stuff. I don't deal too much in eBay, but I'm just telling you, just when you're doing Facebook or TFW or interest groups, whatever, I don't do hidden fees. I don't do extra fees. I do, this is the price I want. This is how much it's going to cost for shipping. And if I'm wrong and it didn't cost as much, I don't pocket the money. I refund it.
Yeah, like on Facebook or on the boards, because there's no PayPal involved or no eBay involved, it's hitting me with fees. So, yeah, I do the same thing on there. You know,
right, but there's been like, many times where people will send me as not as a gift. They'll send it as a payment. And so then I get hit with fees. And with PayPal,
I just suck those up if that's the case.
Yeah, you suck them up.
Usually what I do is I know what I need to have out of an item. I know how much money I want. I know how much the fees are going to run. So I price it accordingly. And if somebody agrees to buy it for that, you know, but then I get what I want after the fees come out. But I don't, well, here's the price plus the fees. It's like, you know, here's the price. Now, I have had people say, hey, if I send it as a gift, will you take a little less? And I have done that a couple of times. I don't like doing that, but I've only done it more as a favor for the other person because they're wanting to pay less. But most time I don't do that.
I don't have any problems with that. I'll be the first one to say that the less money that goes to PayPal, the better. I don't care who gets it, as long as it's not PayPal. Not really pro PayPal eBay, sorry.
Even though you use it.
I use PayPal because that's what most people want to use. Before that, I always did money orders. I mean, I've been around longer than PayPal, sorry. Yeah. But eBay, I hardly ever use eBay. As a matter of fact, the only time I ever use eBay is when I get a new phone and I want to dump a new phone or my old phone.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, every once in a while I'll throw stuff up there, but I just can't stand eBay. Yeah. Ever since they did the whole when they did the one-way feedback, I was done. Because there's no way. It's all about retaliation, and it's just eBay went downhill from there.
I don't leave feedback unless they leave me feedback first.
Well, before you had to fear the retaliation feedback, like somebody's either buyer or seller, it's just rotten to deal with. You were afraid to leave a negative because they might leave you a negative. So eBay did away with, you can't leave negatives for buyers. Well, the problem is now buyers are ripping people off. You know, they'll buy something and then they receive it. They'll claim they didn't get it or it wasn't all there or it wasn't what they ordered.
Right.
What happened to me
earlier
this week.
Yeah, and then eBay,
yeah.
You can't leave a negative to warn any future sellers, hey, this Correct. Person may rip you off.
Exactly. And with all the buyer protection and there's very little for seller protection, although this global has interested me. I mean, if it provides more protection for the seller, I might go back. But just because it was so pro buyer and so anti seller, I didn't want to get into the whole hype. I mean, someone you sell an item and they go and they say, I got the item, it was broken, and they send you back a box of rocks. Guess what? You're screwed. And I actually got on eBay and I told him that. I gave him the same scenario. I said, so if he sends me back a box of rocks, I'm screwed. And he goes, yeah, that's exactly what he said. Yep, you are. And with that, screw him. Not big into eBay.
Well, I think as far as the etiquette goes, I think that's going to change when other viable options eventually
become available. They don't buy them out, right?
Yeah, again, I
remember the Crave. I remember when they first got started. They actually came around to a bunch of at BotCon and interviewed a bunch of people, one of myself included, saying that what would you think about doing this. And I said, it's great. We signed up for it. All of a sudden, it disappeared. But you knew what it was. Yeah. You knew exactly what happened.
But, the one thing I think etiquette is that, like, for example, not charging the fees on both pay, it's their etiquette towards us as sellers is definitely not there anymore. But as far as the etiquette in person to person or on board, everyone just needs to remember if you don't not hold yourself accountable just because there's no system in place. If you're doing board to board trading, you should be upfront and direct on the boards, just as you would be on eBay, just because there's no punishment reward system in place. And it's like if you can't work with a fellow fan on the boards without there being a lot of issues that either you're causing or they're causing, when you're just trying to help each other sell something or get something, you need to hold yourself to a higher standard, just even if there's no system making you hold yourself to that standard.
Well, but there is. There is a system. All right, and that's why I think it's even better than eBay.
Well,
I mean, and what it is it's the whole fans together, and when one person screws you, everyone hears about it.
Oh, that's right? Well,
done. Yes. And stuff like that. And I mean, there's a reason why I'm the highest seller trader on TFW. Okay, I do hold myself to a higher standard. All right, I want to make sure that people are happy. I go out of my way to make sure they're happy. And how does that? I mean, because it takes one person saying something bad, and then it spreads. And that's what our fandom is. You know that. I mean, one person does something over on the West Coast, they're going to hear about it on the East Coast.
Yeah, very fast too.
So you're only as good as your word.
Yeah. So basically, don't be a jerk. That's what it boils down to. Don't be a jerk.
Well, and don't screw people over. Because it's going to come back. It's going to come back and bite you. Every single person I've ever heard that screwed people, it comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, does anybody have anything further that they want to mention before we close? Nope.
No.
All righty. Well, I believe next week we will return to our discussion of Transformers from Japan. We will talk about Zone and a couple of the little manga series that happened around that time.
Return of Convoy with Star Convoy.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about those. I know Bryce has got a few Megamas. You've probably got a few great ones.
I have pretty much everything from Return of Convoy and Zone. I like my Masters.
How about you, Don?
I've got the American version of the MicroMasters. I didn't get the Zone versions of them.
Preview, Duran. Yeah. Preview.
Your screen got all blurry.
There it goes.
Yeah, I've got Diatlas. I've got Sonic Bomber. I've got Road Fire. I've got Galaxy Shuttle. But well, that's more. You know, that's more Victory. I got Zone in a deal. It's one of those. I traded a Legend Bumblebee for a copy of Zone and some other stuff on VHS tape in the mid 90s. So I didn't get this actual Zone set when it came out. But I love Zone for what it is. Capes and crowns and Freddy King sliced in half. But
yeah, those are the only Zone figures I have are the Gestalts that got cut in half. I have them from their earlier release. Yeah.
But I wish they would go back and actually do that series animated.
Yeah, the story was kind of interesting from the manga, TV magazines.
Yeah, of all the series, I wish that was something that was more readily available as a finished animated product.
Yeah. About you, Tobias? Do you have anything from those eras?
No, I don't have anything at all. Sorry, I don't know much right about Stone at all.
Well, you'll be able to buy all you want at BotCon.
Yeah, perhaps. Who knows? The last BotCon I went to, I went home with two full suitcases full of toys that I'm...
That seems to happen at cons.
Yeah.
Just make sure you stop by the Mega Toy Fan Parts Party.
I will, and perhaps I will bring some toys from Sweden as well.
There you go, I love it. I love more than cash. I love trade.
Funniest thing was TFCon last year. Other than lined up stuff, I spent more money in Brett's room than I did anywhere else on the floor.
Hey!
Looking forward to it, Brett.
I'm guilty of that too.
Well, actually, the Scorponok that you bought off of me, I bought off of Brett. Yeah.
Well, the first SlagCon I went to, I bought quite a few G1 figures, all those Action Masters and stuff. All came from Brett's booth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey,
Action Masters.
Tobias, one thing I'm looking for over in Europe, the AVO is very popular. It's the one Chevy did the Transformer 4 several years ago.
You could have asked. I just sold one. I got another one.
No, I have the red one. I want the other versions.
Oh, the yellow one?
I want the yellow and the blue.
I haven't seen the blue one ever. I've only seen the yellow ones.
Now, were those just exclusive to Sweden? Or
Well, it's...
It was Great Britain, I think.
Yeah, but it's just, you know, I don't have any European contacts, so I just thought, you know, if he happens to know of the yellow or blue one.
I
remember when the yellow one surfaced, a lot of people thought it was a custom at first.
Exactly, yeah. The red is if you did a test drive, the yellow is if you bought the vehicle, and I've heard the blue version was given to the dealerships just as a... one per dealership.
I got a bunch of buddies over in Great Britain. Let me see if I can get something rolling for you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'd like to have a yellow one too if you can hook that up.
First I've heard of it, so look into it.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I believe that'll do it for this edition of Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I want to thank everyone for joining in this week, and hope you enjoyed the show. Had a lot of great discussion tonight. You have any thoughts on etiquette and in buying and selling and trading in the fandom? not necessarily issues that you've had, but just general etiquette things that you consider, you know, that is proper and everything. We'd love to hear from you. Post it in the Facebook group or tweet us at TFYLP, your ideas and thoughts. Also, love to hear from you on the Age of Extinction toys. I mean, if you pick up Scorn and Loving, talk about it on the Facebook group. Take pictures and tweet us at TFYLP, and we'll try to retweet your pictures and everything. But thank you guys for joining us, and we will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. I'm Weird Wolf, along with Insane Galvatron, Barisi, Headmaster Don, Tobias, and Brett. We will see you next time on TFYLP.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.